Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass in our state-of-the-art control room. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, the 12th of September, 2022. I can't believe it. We'll celebrate 12 full years and even dozen here with the radio project at the end of the year, then 35 years on Tucson TV and radio. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will do at 1230 today, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And of course, folks are always welcome to call us at 790-2040 and join in the conversation. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, it's a great business, and they've been in business since 1985. Moe and the family specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Moe comes out to your home and will gladly place whatever you want on the wall where you want it to be. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. And on the website, moesgallery.com, our Monday political face-off team of commentators today. Chris Ackerley returns to the program, former state lawmaker, current assistant treasurer of Pima County. Chris, how are you?
Good.
And it's been, I can't believe it, 9 months. Dr. Don Jorgensen is back with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it's great to see you again, Bill. Thank you.
It's great to see you. You had a great trip over to Ireland. 3 weeks, wasn't it?
3 weeks to England, Ireland, Scotland, finishing up in Norway. And as we were just talking, we had the chance to spend some time in Edinburgh along the Royal Mile and seeing the scenes that have been on TV the last 2 days. And it's a beautiful city.
And you shared with us very few places. Everything was credit card.
I don't think I paid cash once during 3 weeks in Europe. You know, I bought some pounds for some use, and I had to work to spend them. But everything's cashless.
Well, Pima County's treasurer's office will accept your cash, and we kind of touched on it with you a couple of weeks ago. But now that. Well, the statements are out. I mean, people are going to be showing up.
Yes,
and
they are.
They may be showing up with a lot of cash, which is very surprising. I don't know if they pigeonhole, maybe they put aside a little bit every month and they take the cash down there. But you guys do take credit cards, but folks do have to pay the fee.
Yes,
right.
Yes, you can. Statements did go out. You can pay online. The easiest way to do it is to pay online with an e-check, because that's the cheapest. It only costs you a 50-cent service fee to do that. But yes, because we are government, and one of the little hidden things is anytime you use your credit card company is charging that vendor a fee. But because we're government and we're supposed to be good steward of the taxpayers' dollars, that fee gets passed on to the taxpayer.
But people will show up with cash.
Yes, they will.
A lot of it. I mean, it's surprising in this kind of what we've become, a cashless society. So the bills or the statements did go out. Just a couple of quick words about that. I know mine stayed pretty much the same. What are you generally are the statements pretty much the same?
Well,
as
it depends. It depends on what all jurisdictions.
Okay.
Jurisdictions you're in, but I mean, you have competing factors there. So most of the jurisdictions, their tax rates stayed about the same, but because assessed property values, because real estate has gone up over the last 2 or 3 years, the assessed value is a little bit higher, so you're paying the same percentage on more assessed value. But this last year, the state decided to suspend their portion of the state equalization tax for education. So that got shifted to the state general fund, and that came off your property tax bill for at least this
year. So you got a little added bonus this year.
So in the net, you're probably right about the same.
Okay, let's talk politics. Arizona Secretary of State Don Katie Hobbs officially over the weekend said, nah, I don't want to debate. I don't want to debate Carrie Lake, the Republican former TV news anchor from Fox and Phoenix, who wants to be Arizona's next governor. What do you think about that decision, Don?
Let me address it personally and politically. Personally, I'm disappointed. And I'm a huge supporter of Katie Hobbs. Mm-hmm. I think she'll be a great governor. But you like to see people next to each other so you can compare and contrast. However, I certainly understand her point because we saw that happen in the Republican primary debates. And as many Republicans called it, and I'm quoting, a clown car. And I think Katie Hobbs didn't want to demean the process by being part of that again. And someone else compared it to playing chess with a pigeon. All the pigeon's going to do is poop all over the board and then strut around like they won. And that's what we get with a Carrie Lake who, as Katie Hobbs pointed out, Carrie Lake is still denying the results of the 2020 election. So why waste your time with someone who won't even acknowledge the facts that exist? So clearly the Hobbs campaign made a political calculation that it would do more harm to be part of a sideshow than to skip it and to still have their chance to get her serious plans and policies out there versus Carrie Lake's continued kind of MAGA extremist Trump's supporting type blather.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, again, I agree that personally I'm very, very disappointed.
I would have liked to have seen it. I think there would have been a really big ratings for
and
it.
And I, too, understand the political calculation, but I think it comes from a totally different place. I think it's because she doesn't want to be backed into a situation where she has to defend her record. She doesn't want to be asked questions about the discrimination lawsuits that were filed against her. While she was serving in the legislature, she doesn't want to be backed into a corner about the conduct of the last election. So I see that if I was her political advisor, I would be telling her, yeah, don't be put in a situation where you're going to be asked serious questions about your record.
That's the disappointment, is that not only can she defend them, she can stand proudly on her record. She was essentially the bulwark against the election deniers and those that tried to corrupt the 2020 election. As Secretary of State, she stood strong to make sure that we had the safest, the most secure election in history. And that's been proven again and again after every ridiculous lawsuit that was filed and such. And she did that in the face of death threats to her and her family. So,
she could have played that up in a debate.
Yes, she could have. And that's the disappointment there. The other is to correct the record that my friend Chris here is distorting. She was never sued directly. It was the Senate, the state Senate, that was sued for what happened in an unfortunate case with one individual. Katie Hobbs was, in fact, a fact witness. Now, she made some mistakes in her position and has acknowledged that and worked to correct it. The Republican in charge never did, and the Republican in charge is now Congressman Andy Biggs, and yet he's been given a free pass on all of this. So, yes, she could not just defend her record, she could stand proudly on it for what she's done in that role as Secretary of State, modernizing that office, which was in disarray when she took over, creating secure elections in 2020 and now for 2022. So there is that personal disappointment that she won't be there in that one venue. But there'll be plenty of other venues and TV and opportunities to hear about her policies in contrast to the lack of policies promoted by Carrie Lake.
But none where they're going to be on the stage together.
No.
I mean, the really only debate that will happen without her consent is the clean elections debate. And clean elections debates are rarely neutral ground for conservative candidates. But that being said, she should still be able to get up in a clean elections debate, which will have fair moderation and defend her record.
So they'll go ahead with the debate with just one on the clean elections thing? It won't be a debate. It'll just be one person talking?
Well, the clean elections debate are – I mean, they're part of the enabling legislation for the clean elections. And so they will occur unless all of the candidates who are running are not clean elections candidates and decide that they don't want to hold the debate. Mm-hmm. But as long as there is a candidate that wishes to hold the debate, the clean elections will hold that debate.
You know, I saw that Carrie Lake was quoted as saying that she's qualified Chris Ackerley to be governor because she's covered all these issues. Well, I don't know. I started to think, you know, I've been in the news business like more than 50 years, 55 maybe, in the information gathering business. And I'm wondering, would I be qualified to be governor?
I think so. I mean,
more so.
I think so. The reality is that it is. I mean, it's a political campaign,
right?
And quite frankly, you don't want somebody who is completely enmeshed in the bureaucracy of government to be the person in charge. You want somebody there to be a check against that bureaucracy.
But you also want someone there who has a clue. And she and it's clearly there's no plan, there's no understanding of the processes. And that's something that Katie Hobbs does bring. And she has worked outside the political process. She's got a history as a social worker, working with people, working with nonprofits, making a difference in the community. And what she brings is her knowledge of how government works, which is necessary to get things done. And that's one of the differences. And she's worked in the minority, so hasn't had the chance to enact many of the policies that are sorely lacking in Arizona. But because she understands that process, because by the fact that she has been in the minority, she has had to work with both sides, with the Republicans as well as the Democrats in the House and in the Senate. So she has that experience too. She doesn't demonize the opposition like Carrie Lake does. She understands that that's part of the process, but will know how to make that process work for Arizona.
You like the outsider, though, Chris, huh?
Well, I do. And I have to, having worked with her in the legislature, I got to say.
Hobbs.
She is fiercely partisan. She is fiercely, fiercely partisan.
Well, I'll talk about somebody that's fiercely partisan when it comes to his products. That's Steve and the team at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle.
It's my vote.
Have you been over there recently, Don, or no?
Not since I've been back, but it's on my list.
Okay. And Chris?
I don't think I've ever been there. I have to try it.
You're missing out.
You really need to go up to the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. That's not too far out of your way, is it?
Well, it's on the other side of town.
I live on the west side.
But this might be worth an excursion.
This might be worth a destination trip for some of the finest bakery goods in the Southwest. They're open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Saturday, 6:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, Sundays 7 to 2. And we were up there over the weekend. I went with a scone, the blueberry scone. Just came out of the oven. So good on Sunday. They are closed on Monday. They deserve a day off. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Again, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And Chris Ackerley, when you go up there, tell them that, tell Steve, the owner, that Bill Buckmaster sent you. How's that sound?
I will.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Back with our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops.
craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, conveniently located right next to Copenhagen. I always give Copenhagen a plug, even though they're not a sponsor, because everybody knows... pretty much know it's such a landmark over there at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And their website is moesgallery.com. Dr. Don Jorgensen is seated to my left. Don returns to the program after a 9-month absence. He's the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. And seated to my right, Chris Ackerley, former state lawmaker, current assistant treasurer of Pima County, and a 22-year high school teacher in physics and math, was that right?
Yes.
Yeah, physics and math. And recently retired from education. Chris, what do you think about all these vouchers? Is that some people say it's just the death knell for public education?
I don't think it's going to be the death knell. But my record's pretty clear on that. I don't think that's the way to do it. I would have supported and did when I was in the legislature tax credits to offset the expenditure when people send their kids to private schools. But I really think that when you let a really large subsidy program like that out of the box, you don't ever get to put it back in. And I think it has the potential to grow considerably, and the strings that will eventually come attached with that. You know, the proponents say, no, we'll be able to keep the strings out of it. But I question that sometimes. I think the strings are going to – I think the strings that will come eventually become attached to it will perhaps end up diminishing, right, the very reason that you would seek to send your kid to a private school.
And probably, Don Jorgensen, you'd agree with Chris on this.
I am really glad to hear my friend Chris say what he said, because he's absolutely right. It was intended from the beginning by the Republicans to be a shift of public money into private hands. And they got the camel's nose under the tent years ago when this started, and it's come to where they want it to be, which is now where any family, and I'm putting this in quotes, can divert that money, can use these vouchers, so-called vouchers, to go to private schools. Well, what's happened, as has come out in the paper recently, number one, the vast majority of these vouchers, 75%, are going to families that have never had their kids in public schools. They're basically just coupons for private schools. And these parents have their kids in private schools. They pick up this money, and it helps cover their costs. Whereas the kids that might have benefited, those going to, and again, I'm using the Republican frame, lower performing public schools that could shift to private schools, it was never enough to afford that, because these vouchers are, what, $7,500 roughly, and most of these private schools start at $10,000 and up. So it was unrealistic from them. On top of that, there is zero accountability. And this is our money. This is taxpayer money going into private pockets with no accountability. And now we're seeing the extreme results of that, where the test results are no different. We can't get test results from all these schools, including religious schools as well. And they're now even being advertised as vouchers you can use for playgrounds, private playgrounds.
What?
Up in Maricopa County. There was an ad for one of these places that provide for sports and activities, and it's called Play Something. Nothing to do with educating our kids. So it has just gone over the rails and has clearly been exposed as, again, a way for Republicans to shift public money into private pockets of their friends with zero accountability and zero impact on improving the education for our public school kids.
Chris, I want to quickly shift gears. The Republican chairwoman, Shelley Kice, who is a frequent contributor here on our program, went before the Board of Supervisors last week and pleaded with the board, don't outsource our voter data information that apparently would be, that the board is now considering outsourcing. What is your take on this? Is this a core function of the Pima County Recorder's Office?
It is. And so I'm going to empathize with the recorder and her office being, you know, just downstairs from their office and having similar processes or similar issues, in that some of the systems, the computer systems that the county uses, are one-off on antiquated platforms. But that being said, what was in front of the board was an item to essentially contract out the maintenance of the voter database. And you got to ask yourself, well, this is a core function of the recorder's office. It's one of their two statutory obligations, what the office is set up for. And it's something where the people who are doing need to be directly responsible to the elected officials and the Board of Supervisors. You don't want to be settling disputes of that nature over contract litigation. More troubling is it's outsourced to a consulting firm, and it's like most computer consulting firms now, they've got a virtual presence. They don't have a physical presence. They got a virtual presence. So they were going to be remotely accessing. It called for them to be remotely accessing the database to do maintenance on it. And that seems like it doesn't seem like a road that I would suggest anybody going down.
And the board has decided to take a second look at this.
And the board did decide to postpone action on that item and ask some more questions that really need to be asked.
Don, what are you thinking about this?
I think Chris is right. He's got the expertise there. He has seen it. And I agree that it is and should be a core function of the recorder's office. My question now is this. Because, as you say, there is antiquated equipment, it's outdated, the systems need renewal. Will the Republicans support any measures that are necessary, whether it's moving funds or increasing taxes in some way, to be able to afford to upgrade the systems to meet that need?
Will they, Chris, do you think? Well, you probably don't know.
Well, at some point, we have to.
Yeah.
Because the systems have to be replaced. But it's important to keep in mind as we cross those bridges as we come to it, that there is there's a trade-off here, right? Because government is not in competition with other governments. So we have to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. But that being said, we do need some systems updated.
All right, gentlemen, good discussion. Thank you, Chris Ackerley, and good to see Don Jorgensen back with us as well. Thanks, guys.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and on the web at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The morning was so beautiful today. Went outside into the garden, and this is the time of year that you really think about, you know, I'd really like some additional color in the garden. Well, the place to go, Green Things. They're located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. With pretty much everything you could dream of for your garden and garden accessories and beautiful things, much of them handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe as part of their other sister business, which is on site, called Zocalo Village. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. And Green Things, more than 50 years in business, they are open daily. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for our monthly border report with longtime border reporter, observer, friend of the border, Keith Rosenblum. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I keep maintaining my friendship with the border, and I keep observing. I'm a long-term observer of the border.
You certainly are, and you observe very well. Keith, let's try to shed some light on a story that it's a pretty big story in Mexico. It really has not been garnering the attention, certainly in the United States, that it deserves. I'll set this up by saying the man allegedly responsible, Keith, for one of Mexico's worst human rights atrocities could finally face justice. Pick it up from there.
Well, it doesn't get the play anywhere in the world, but it's also like you enter a time tunnel or a time warp when it comes to this one story. That's Ayotzinapa. And in 2000, I think it was 2013 or 14, it was 13, that's when the 43 students vanished. This is in Guerrero, the town of near the city of Iguala.
2014. And it was 2014.
2014, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I lose track of some of the details here, but I've never lost track of the greater story itself. And what you have right now in Mexico is a fascinating series of revelations, not because the Mexican government really wanted to do it, but more because its hands got forced. And to my way of thinking, the story's been really underplayed, but it points to the sensitivity of topics even today. In other words, there are certain taboos that we wouldn't understand in the U.S. If one more thing comes out on Hunter Biden, if one more thing comes out on President Trump, we all make fodder of it. We all enjoy hearing about it, but it doesn't have the potential really of causing the kind of chaos and the kind of fall of government that it could in Mexico. So through a series of good old-fashioned investigative journalism projects, and this one people could listen to. It's 3 hours of listening in the U.S. It's at it's PRX, maybe Public Radio International, and also Reveal. There's a fabulous analysis of what took place. And for the first time, it makes sense of this mystery of these students all disappearing. People couldn't figure out, like, why would you have 43 students disappear if they were, you know, they're 20-year-old teacher, poor people, or you know, kids, really, aspiring to be teachers. They were at a normal, it's called a teacher school, like NAU used to be, in Iguala, Mexico. And the reporting is just fabulous, and it explains that this is really one of those crazy, if you've ever read Tom Wolfe, the particular Bonfire of the Vanities, or some of the other Tom Wolfe novels, he's an expert at the world of unintended consequences or of ricocheting And so what the series shows is that the students were not all vanished or disappeared or, you know, kidnapped on day one, as Mexico had believed for many years, and incinerated in a garbage dump or a valley in Guerrero State. But rather, were alive for several days, were not, did not all happen at once. And if you look at the list of characters that have been indicted, we'll say indicted right now, we'll use the term, but it's not the legal term, have been named or pointed out as the people responsible for it, you have the most amazing amalgam of Mexican society. So you have a report, and this is first largely done by the public radio people, as well as a group of international observers from the parents of the missing kids had requested. They were a half dozen from all over the world with incredible specialties and kind of under the auspices of the United Nations, as long as they had, I think they adhered to either a 6-month mandate or it might have been a little bit longer. Anyway, it's those two groups. It's the international experts, Bill, and the public radio people that have forced the Mexican government's hand. And so you had this remarkable scene 2 weeks ago of Undersecretary Alejandro Encinas at the president's morning press conference. And as you know, I'm an addict of that press conference.
Yes.
And he walked people through this stunning series of actions where you have the following involved. You have the municipal police of Iguala, the state police of Guerrero, the Guerreros Unidos, which is one of the mafias in that region. You have the military. About no one ever speaks bad of the Mexican military. It's a taboo. And you have a scenario that involves a group of students who hijack, but the term needs to be used very loosely because in Mexico, hijacking is not the same thing as when people commandeer something here. It's almost, I won't call it a friendly thing, but it's just kind of almost accepted under the rules of the game in Mexico. So you have these students who took 5 buses from Iguala to go to demonstrations in Mexico City. And guess what? One of the buses that they commandeer was also one of the buses that's used on an international route that goes to Chicago, Aurora, Illinois.
Wow.
And the buses were, and you hear in the reveal of the NPR, the PRX interviews, you hear a DEA agent, since retired, talk about how Guerreros Unidos, the mafia, had been crossing these buses. I'm not sure what the crossing point would be. I think it would be McAllen, but I'm not sure. And how the way that they've constructed the bumpers to be airtight, you can actually go through with heroin, which is what they were doing. So you have a remarkable smuggling enterprise. And going back, of course, to Mexico, you have the same compartments being used to transport, guess what? Cash. So the DEA agent is learning about the disappearance of the students in Iguala. He makes sense of this. He then contacts his superiors and DEA, which I'm always the first to trash for its operations abroad, because I see it as being kind of an unmonitored, unregulated, rumor-mongering entity. I'm not going to do the same here, because it looks as if the legwork that was done by DEA is fabulous, and they wind up connecting these dots. So what you have right now in Mexico is a kind of a silence where the Undersecretary of Human Rights, this is Alejandro Encinas, who would be, in our society, just an entirely respected figure. He happened to do this for the president, but his presentation is stunning. You can see it online as well. I want to say it's an hour and a half or 2 hours. And he walks people through and he basically says, well, by the way, guys, the government has been lying to all of you for the last 6 or 7 years. How is that? Stunning. Just a stunning presentation.
Keith.
So where we stand right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so before we take the break, so we have alleged local, state, and federal authorities, including the Mexican army, were both complicit and involved in this cover-up. And the arrest that was made, I guess, almost 2 weeks ago, included the former federal attorney general of Mexico. So you have really a...
Murillo Caram, correct. I neglected that because of your question at the onset, because also, yes, they've imprisoned him, and right now he's the only real player of any consequence to be imprisoned. And the missing party here, and we'll go to your break in a sec, but the missing party, and one of the most interesting aspects of this whole thing, is that the guy who is responsible beyond the responsibility of Murillo Caram, who is the attorney general, is none other than Tomas Cerón, who is in Israel. He fled to Israel, and the Mexicans went to Israel to interview him. Supposedly there's an order of extradition. Israel does not have one with Mexico. Doesn't mean that he can't be extradited. It just means that it ain't happened up until now. And this is a guy, yeah, I'm taking that he's Jewish, because that's what you know, the Israelis offer a right of return to anyone who's Jewish. But I don't think that's what they had in mind when they created the law of return. It was for Jews all over the world, mostly who were being persecuted by Hitler and by the Nazis. That's the real reason for the law of return. So this has... This is going beyond anything that Tom Wolfe could have created.
All right. I want to pick up on this after the break about what really was the motive here for this situation that involved 43 Mexican students who went missing in 2014. More with Keith Rosenblum after we take the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
You're listening to Bill Buckmaster. The Ramsey Show is coming up at 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Get away to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, greened up beautifully with all the rains. Good time to hike in the Gila National Wilderness. Find out more about where to stay and what to do. And there's lots to do by visiting. Your first step should be visiting southwestnewmexico.org before you take that three-hour drive. Not a bad drive at all over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's our monthly border report with Keith Rosenblum, and we're talking about the 2014 incident where 43 Mexican students went missing and the alleged local, state, federal authorities that including the Mexican army, that were both complicit and involved in a cover-up. That's the allegation anyway. Keith, joining me in studio is Greg Gerringer, our production manager here at KVOI, who just returned from Mexico City, and Greg has been following the story really since its inception. Go ahead, Greg.
And Keith, I did watch or listen to the same podcast, but Bill is trying to get into the actual causes, you know, or basically the motive. And one of the things I was telling him, you may have mentioned this earlier, is that those local authorities in Iguala somehow had these kids on their radar as they left Ayotzinapa. And I just thought they got on the wrong bus. But it almost sounds like they were following these kids for a reason. One of the things I mentioned to Bill is throughout Mexico, in these very rural communities where these kids have deep indigenous blood and go to schools like this, many of them go to small communities and they've been commandeering buses for 20 and 30 years. And they've sort of done so year after year during these seasonal protests or yearly protests when they go to Mexico City. So I was kind of trying to clue Bill in on exactly, you know, what the motive would have been to go after these kids when time and time again, you know, it happens in other places, including areas run by cartels.
Okay. Well, thanks for the context, and we're on the same sheet here. And that's what you may have missed when I was talking to Bill. I said, well, Bill, it's not commandeer a bus or hijack a bus the same way as, say, in the U.S., where it'll generally be something extreme and unanticipated. But in Mexico, there is exactly what you just described, which is a kind of a tradition of commandeering them, but it's almost a quid pro quo. In other words, something that people understand, and you're absolutely correct about the indigenous nature of the students. I would add this. Everybody's on the radar in those towns.
Well, that's true.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
So because of the... because you don't want people intruding. And this is true for Sonora, but actually, sadly, this is true nationwide. It's a little bit tougher to do it in the megalopolises in Mexico City or Guadalajara, Monterrey, or Tijuana, but it's a lot easier to do in these rural areas. And so all the people that we're discussing who have their tentacles in this or are compromised by it would naturally be following the students. And it doesn't take much. You know, everybody talks to each other. And if you follow... And I'm convinced, by the way, that I watched the presentation of Undersecretary Encinas, and I was stunned because I thought, oh, great, how the Mexicans ever got hold of this technology. They actually show you, they say we started with something in the order of 80 million cell phone contacts. I mean, it's something that it was stratospheric. And I realized about halfway through the presentation, I believe that our NSC provided everything to the Mexicans because the sophistication of the research on this, and they show you six overlapping cell phone conversations where people are talking to one another. I mean, this is the epitome for people that thought that we had privacy or any left.
Let me recommend
you watch the presentation by Undersecretary Encinas, because these conversations are monitored and they follow who's talking to who. And that's how they get hold of the military guy who was a colonel at that time, was later a general, and is now in jail. He's kind of a lower-level person.
Now, the thing I told Bill briefly, too, during the break, was the guy that is hiding out in Israel, he was using Israeli spyware on the phone of the attorney that was working with the OAS and the UN.
That that part of it. It's like, it reminds, I hate to say this, it's going to be inappropriate in a conversation of this nature, but it reminds me of Spy versus Spy from Mad Magazine.
Exactly.
Zarone is no hero to anyone here. And so he's watching his back, and he's watching Murillo Karam, the attorney general, who, by the way, was from the PRI. So you can see the political dimensions.
Exactly.
Well, Obrador right now has been unscathed by the whole thing. But he could be, with the wrong decision or the wrong turn or the act of a certain indifference, he could end up taking a hit as well. The question now becomes, is Lopez Obrador, is he a crusader here, or is this all, he's included in the cover-up, and he's only letting information out on a as-we-have-to-release-it basis? It wouldn't surprise me. These things go south very quickly. And so the president, even though this topic doesn't even come up right now at the press conferences, the president is very vulnerable to what will happen next.
It was so important to his entire platform, you know, basically saying he was going to find out what happened here. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Well, he did. And it would have been a lot easier if he had done it on the final day of his administration.
Exactly.
But it came out faster, not because of his volition.
Yeah.
It came out much faster because you have this fabulous job by the National Security Archives, which is a private entity, a dynamite piece of journalism. I wish I could lay some claim to that kind of journalistic savvy. You have the serendipitous nature of a DEA agent who tells all because he's retired. The agency would never have let the guy say a word if he was still in the game. So you have a whole series. As I said, I don't know if you're a Tom Wolfe fan, Greg, but if you'd ever read Bonfire of the Vanities or these other books by Tom Wolfe, you would say this is absolutely a case of unintended consequence at every turn, and it led to one of the most remarkable series of revelations about where Mexico is. And Lopez Obrador, don't forget, is absolutely under the thumb of the Mexican military. So for him to do anything right now, the military has become his dancing partner at every turn, with the new airport, with the train, with putting the Guardia Nacional, which has 100-some-odd thousand members, the control of Defensa Nacional.
Yep.
It has amazing repercussions for everybody. And right now, it's an untold story, as Watergate was, too, at the onset.
So is this comparable to a Watergate? Is it that big a deal?
Yes, and far more sinister. Watergate's about a burglary and some papers that the Republican National Committee breaks into a hotel, an apartment complex for.
There is a deep division within Mexico right now. I saw it when I was there. I see the opposition to AMLO. There's always pushback against the president, but these times in Mexico right now are very unprecedented. It's incredibly fascinating what's happening there.
Greg Gerringer, thank you.
More so is that you have economic good times right now. How's that? So a lot of people just kind of roll their eyes and say, oh, that's the political world. It's rancid, but we're making a good income.
But a lot of wealthy Mexicans are very scared for the future. I can tell you that. They're very worried that the government is taking an extreme leftist turn. So
we concur. Yeah.
Okay, Greg Gerringer, just back from Mexico City. Thanks, Greg, for your input on following this big story. And Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thank you, Keith.
I'll keep observing. And what's the other thing I do? Long time. I'll keep having long-term observations, Bill. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum with our monthly Mexico Border Report. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, wrapping up our Monday edition. On behalf of Greg Gerringer with me in studio, good to see Greg, and John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Dave Ramsey's very popular show on money's coming up next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.